What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I am here with Pamela McDowell. Pamela is a degree qualified engineer, having worked in engineering, energy conservation, and business improvement. In addition, she is a certified yoga teacher and has training and experience in yoga therapy and EFT. Me too. Pamela really started to realize her capacities with awareness and how to use them after leaving a corporate job and asking what's next. Soon after, she rediscovered the tools of Access Consciousness and began asking way more questions. Prior to that, she was committed to trying to fit in, be normal, save the planet, and generally trying to get life right. With the Access tools, she learned to trust more of what she knows, ask more questions, and have more fun. Pamela currently enjoys helping people create more in their lives, work, and businesses. She's an Access Consciousness Certified Facilitator and is based in Australia. Welcome, Pamela. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Venus. I'm delighted to be on.
Yeah. So I'd love to just get to know you a little bit. So why don't you tell me, what's your kind of your path to Access Consciousness? How did you discover Access?
I was in Toastmasters, which is a public speaking practice organization, and had a lady who was doing some mentoring with me to work with my public speaking, and which is generally pretty good, but I was like, how do I really just kind of be me? And that wasn't exactly what I was asking, but she was aware of some things holding back, and we started to have a discussion. I was like, okay, can I tell her about this? And I got like, okay, this is okay. So I was telling her about some issues I was having, and she was like, oh, you just need to get your bars run. And before that, I hadn't heard of anything about Access. So at the time, I went to a bars class. I went to a few bar swaps. It was okay, and it didn't really inspire me. Fast forward 2 years later, I had just left that corporate job that I was talking about, and the same person said, hey, there's a lady in town doing a one-day class. It's around using your voice. It was a one-day Right Voice for You class. And she said, I really think, with your singing and your speaking, you'd really enjoy this. So I went to that workshop, and at the end of the day, aches and pains that had been with me for ages were not there. And we were working on the voice and showing up in the world. And I was like, wow, okay. So there's something here. I've got to find out more. So I got myself to another bars class and took foundation, and then I took foundation again, and just kept using more and more. I was with the body processes and the bars. I didn't have to figure out what was going on with me to actually start to change things. And that was such a gift. So that's what I've been doing for the last few years, just using it for myself, and then I started offering sessions, and then,
awesome.
Keep playing with it.
Cool. And so I obviously, the name of the show is Outside the Impossible, so one of my favorite questions to ask is, like, did you have something that you thought was impossible to change that you changed with the Access tools? If so, what was it?
Oh, it's been a lot of small things, but I noticed, like, after I took foundation, that some of those compelling things I had to do, like, you know, have a child or, you know, something like that. It's like that need for it. It was like, wow, that wasn't even mine. And it was that ability to unplug from the programming that I've had all my life. And, you know, start to say, oh, wow, okay, so what's going to work for me? And then, you know, it's been a lot of small things that really I noticed before, and then they were able to just go away. So I wasn't being held in place by a limitation or a resentment or a have to, and started to have more and more choice for myself. And one of the things I noticed when I was at that corporate job, you know, things were changing at work. I was, my last role there was as a business improvement facilitator, basically, and for an organization that didn't want to change, which is lots of fun. And, you know, I could perceive all this stuff, that emotional soup going on with everyone, and I didn't realize that it wasn't mine. And to, you know, recognize kind of all the stuff that was going on and I was carrying around and I was thinking was mine, really wasn't, was a lot of freedom. And it's created a lot more space for me. It's not that I'm no longer aware of things, but I'm just less at the effect of things, which is awesome.
Yeah, that sounds really great. So how did you get clear on whether something was yours or not?
Well, so, you know, we've got this light and heavy tool. You know, so what's true for you makes you lighter, and what's a lie for you is heavy. And then also, like, if it's not yours, you can't change it. So all these things that I've been trying to change and creating this clunk in my world and, you know, walls and barriers and stuff, you know, when I start to realize, oh, that's not mine, okay, I don't have to buy this as real and true. And so just, it wasn't something that happened overnight, but it just allowed me to really recognize how much of what I think is going on for me is not actually going on for me. It's just going on. And it's someone somewhere else in the world, or many people somewhere else in the world. So when that wonk comes up anytime, it's okay, well, what am I aware of? And, you know, getting more and more practice and more agility using that, and not saying, oh my God, the sky's falling, or I'm so grouchy, I'm so angry. It's like, okay, well, what is this? And, you know, what do I do with it? How do I change it? Yeah, so and, you know, things like sadness and upset and depression and, you know, different things like that. How often is it other people's stuff that, you know, I was just around and so used to thinking it was mine and it really wasn't? I don't know. Does that make more sense?
Sure. Yeah, it's just, you know, for people who maybe don't, are like, how do I do that? You know, like.
So, you know, it's like the things that you can't change. You know, start asking. Okay, so what is actually going on here? Sometimes I have also found is that it's me just repeating. Oh, I'm so tired. It's like, oh. Where's the question in that? Is, am I really tired? So if I keep telling the universe, I'm so tired, good chance I'm going to keep being tired. So what if I could say, well, what's really true for me? What's it going to take to change this? And is it mine? Starts to create the space where you get a different, get other things showing up. So I think it's just really being in question about what's showing up for you and what, also what conclusions that you've got in place that are keeping you from changing it. So for example, the conclusion that it's mine to change is a big one. And if it's not yours, you can't really change it. So you can just say, oh, that's something else. Can I do anything with it? Well, really not. So what is my reality? That's one of the questions I really enjoy using is, what is my reality here? And then when making these choices, particularly when things are really kind of dismal, which is the way things felt before I left this organization, I was aware of somebody lying to me, and those lies were revealed, but there was still that almost rage at what was going on, and the lies that I was tolerating and I was aware of, but they were telling me that they weren't lying. And to recognize that one of the things that many of us actually encounter as anger are actually when we're aware of lies. So and I totally forgot where I was headed here, but for basically, when I started to recognize a few months later, okay, just part of what was going on with my body and my response to the world is I was aware of all these lies going on, and it created a lot more space for me to say, okay, yes, I was aware of lies and I knew it, and people were telling me that they weren't lying. And just to know that I knew, it's like, oh, wow, I wasn't going nuts. And, I am aware of things that other people aren't aware of. And it doesn't make them wrong, and it doesn't make me wrong, and it doesn't make them right or me right. But there are so many things that I'm aware of in engaging with people, different possibilities that they're just not willing to look at. And I'm sure that I have the same sort of thing going on. Other people can see possibilities that I'm not aware of. And when people say, but I still have this limitation, I still have this limitation, it's like, no, you don't. But you can't tell them that. Right. So, but just to be aware that other people have what they're aware of, and it's different than what you're aware of. And to be okay with that and not try to conform to everybody else and not try to make yourself wrong because you know something else is what's actually happening or what's possible or whatever it is. So for me, that was a huge aspect, being able to really start to claim more of the knowing that I do have and start to trust it more and more.
Would you speak, thank you, and would you speak a little bit more to what you do in an instance, you already shared some tools, okay, so this isn't mine, heavy, light, or ask some questions, what is this, what do I do with it, can I change it, great things, and what if somebody does all that and it's still not changing, what would you recommend?
Well, one of the things is that, I've been facilitated on for this a few times, is sometimes you have bought things as yours, and you've started to, or many, maybe more than started, you've locked that into your reality in some way. So you can say, okay, everywhere I bought this is mine, or sold this is mine. And I'm going to give that up now. And do you use the clearing statement or anything more?
Yes, absolutely. But we will also say if you need to find out more information, please go to theclearingstatement.com. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
So one other thing you can say is, like, you know, so it has this really weird energy. So you get like, is it mine? Kinda, yes, maybe. Is it not mine? Kinda, yes, maybe. Okay, what's going on here? So one of the things that can be happening when that shows up is that you've bought it as yours. You've sold it as yours. You've been defending it as yours. And you can say, okay, all right, so everywhere I've bought or sold this is mine. Times a gazillion, I destroy and uncreate it. Right, wrong, good, bad, papa, call, nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. So that's something, you know, working on yourself or working with someone, be able to say, okay, well, there's this weird energy around here. It's not a lot of clarity. And so doing that a lot of times can free up, okay, I've been operating with this as mine for so long. Now, what is my reality? So that's one that's worked pretty well. And then sometimes it's like you will just be aware of things and you know it's not yours. And just moving to that place as much as possible of interesting point of view. So that's where you can be with it and not try to change it. And be an allowance of it and not be at the effect of it.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely go over that a little bit more right after this break. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, please call in 202-570-7057.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Is it time to create a different and greater world? Through research, we can explore paths to new and exciting possibilities. The Hope Foundation for Possibilities and Change is a research-based, not-for-profit organization dedicated to exploring, discovering, and creating a different future for all. Your donations make this happen. You can contribute at foundationforpossibilities.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm here with Pamela McDowell, and we haven't even gotten to the topic today, which is awesome. I love it. But right before the break, you said interesting point of view, and I'm sure that some people are like, what? Can you say more about that?
So interesting point of view. So I try to describe this a bit, you know, with people like, if you are, it's interesting point of view is where you're not aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting. So I think of it as like, you know, almost a tug of war. If you've got something that's going on and you're aligning and agreeing with it, you're pulling one way, and you're resisting and reacting, you're pulling another way, and it just kind of locks everything into place. And if you can actually let go of where you're aligning and agreeing with things and resisting and reacting to things, then suddenly it's free to change. And you don't have to make it right, you don't have to make it wrong, you can just allow it to be. And this is a muscle. This is not something that we have learned naturally to do. And I find that for myself, one of the best things I can do is to actually expand out my energy to well past the size of the planet. But so if this is new for you and you're listening, you know, just bring your awareness outside of your body to the edges of the room or the space that you're in, and then bring it out to the edges of the city and go up in the air as much and down into the earth as much, and then out to the edges of the country that you're in, and then the edges of the planet. Keep expanding, and maybe some of you are already well past the Milky Way at this point. So just expand out, and then a lot of these things that we're making right and wrong have a lot less sway. So it's easier to start to recognize that energy of interesting point of view if you can expand out. And it's also like the trees and the planet. These are things that don't have judgment. They're not going into conclusions. They're actually willing to just receive everything. And so that's that space of interesting point of view, being willing to receive and perceive things without a judgment of what it is. So you aren't making it right or aren't making it wrong. And this is something that's very, very challenging because it's kind of the opposite of what we've been trained to do. And one of the tools that Access Consciousness has is to actually use the words interesting point of view. I have that point of view. And you can repeat it over and over, but it's what you're looking for is not the words so much, but that space of being. And write it down, interesting point of view, use it, play with it, and find out what it is. And so Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, says that if you can do that for a year, you're going to be free. So, yeah, it's a fantastic tool, and it's also it's definitely a muscle, and it requires some willingness to actually use it and not just put it on a shelf.
So that's your challenge, folks. Go try it.
Yes. So I'm not there by any stretch, but you know, I've got little IPOVs posted around, and a few who does this belong to posted around.
Right. So. Well, I love that, and I, you know, this is actually a practice that I have been taking on for the past. I think I've been doing it now for 6 or 7 months, and there are still, you know, it is a work in progress. There are definitely still areas where I'm like, I just cannot be interesting point of view, and my daughter's room is a wreck. Like, I'm just like, there's just certain things that I'm just like, I don't, and I know it too. And I'm like, wow, I really need to get to interesting point of view about this. So one of the things that Gary and Dane encourage us to do is to say, interesting point of view, I have that point of view, as many times as it takes for you to actually, like Pamela said, get some space around it and, you know, get out of your fixed point of view about anything, you know. And
yeah. And then I think another one is to also be willing to recognize when you know, Gary was saying, he still gets angry when he goes to Scotland. Okay, so, you know, what things are showing up for you that maybe don't really, you know, you can spend some time on, but also being some space around, okay, it hasn't cleared yet, and having some allowance for yourself for that.
Right. So basically you're saying, like, don't go into judgment about whether you're doing interesting point of view right or not.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, no, I'd love
but,
to...
You know,
go ahead.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, please go ahead. That's the other thing. What?
Oh, another thing is that we're so well practiced at making ourselves wrong. So I find, and some, you know, so the opposite side of the coin is making yourself right. And if you didn't have to be right or wrong, you actually have choice. And, but I find, you know, kind of my emergency checklist is, am I making myself wrong here? Because my energy contracts when I do. And it's like impossible to find an interesting point of view when you're making yourself wrong.
Mm. Would you say more about
yeah.
that? Yeah.
Well, maybe not impossible, but, you know, if you're making yourself wrong, you're forcing yourself into getting something right or to proving that you're wrong. And then changing the situation can be really, really challenging. So it's if you're making yourself right or wrong, you're not interesting point of view about what you're choosing.
Hmm.
And it's in that gridlock again of not being able to change easily.
And so if somebody was to find themselves making themselves wrong or trying to be right, what would you suggest that they would do?
Well, I would just say, well, just asking the question, am I making myself right here? Am I making myself wrong here? That starts to create a space. And then if you find out you are, it's like, okay, have a little bit of a laugh. It's like, and then if I didn't have to be right and if I didn't have to be wrong, what choice would I have here?
Hmm.
Which is a lot of choices. But if you're having to make yourself right or make yourself wrong, it doesn't give you a lot of choice at all.
Hmm.
And it also means that you can't see a lot of possibilities.
Right.
Or you exclude yourself from those possibilities. You can see them, but there's this big chunk of things that you have to fix and change before you can ever have them show up as your reality.
Which I think is a great segue into our topic today. Are you using your curiosity for or against you? Can you explain a little bit of how someone might use curiosity against themselves?
Well, the event that inspired this topic was I actually met up for a lady I know with for a bar swap, and you know, I picked her up. She got a ride to nearby, and I picked her up to bring her over to my house. And as soon as I came around her, I got this real tiredness. And I knew it wasn't mine. And I was like, what's going on? And, you know, how do I change it? Because it was really, really uncomfortable for me. And then that afternoon, I had some coffee. It was like, okay, yeah, this works. And then the next day, yeah, I didn't sleep well that night. And the next day, I was like, I think I've just duplicated what she has been creating for herself. And I'm sure there's other things that were going on. And so that was where it really kind of hit me, is like those little bits of curiosity where we see, oh, what's that? What's, you know, like see someone whose health isn't good or is tired or doing something kind of not very bright. It's like, what's going on with that? Well, that can actually start to create those things showing up in your reality. And one of the things that I've heard Gary Douglas say time and time again is, are you trying to understand stupid people? Because you start to mimic them. You start to, you know, so it's not necessarily calling these people stupid, but where they're choosing things that are unconscious and anti-conscious, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, it's some of that might actually start to show up in your reality. So if you can step back and say, oh, okay, I don't need to do that. What else is possible? But I was actually really pleased with this this experience, because having something show up that quickly that was different than what, you know, my previous week had been, and it just really pointed out to me is where, how easily we can actually start to mimic the stuff going on around us without really realizing we're doing it. And it can be those casual, oh, I wonder what's happening here. And it just, the universe is like, yeah, let me show you. I'm really happy to show you. Okay. So that's where it really, really was highlighted for me. And so what I'm trying to do is just be a bit more aware of when I get curious about things, is first of all, you know, what I'm getting curious about, and then if I'm getting curious about kind of silliness, not allowing that to get locked into my world. So and you know, I'd say just a real easy thing is like, okay, well, what else is possible? And not from a space of reaction or resistance or alignment and agreement, but just like, oh, well, you know, that space of possibilities. It's like, oh, I wonder what else is possible. And or running a clearing statement with yourself if you find you've kind of locked something silly into your reality. On the other hand, though, I have had many times in the past where that curiosity has worked really well. So, and I find that these curiosities, it tends to have the quickest and most noticeable things show up when it's something that I would call a throwaway question. So it's something that you don't really have a point of view about. And it's like, you know, where I was like, I wonder what's going on with her. I did have a little bit of point of view in that it was uncomfortable for me. But on the more where it's using it for me, it's like, oh, years ago I was in Denver and visiting my sister, and I knew a friend of mine was in town visiting his wife who was studying there, and he didn't really use a mobile phone at the time, and I was like, oh, well, my friend's in town, I wonder how I could get in touch with him. I kind of let the question go. So that's where I say a throwaway question. I didn't really put a lot of weight to it. I just threw it out there. And that afternoon, my sister and I drove by kind of a famous bookstore, The Tattered Cover. And I was like, oh, I've never been in there. Let's go have a look. And this is a four-story bookstore with lots of nooks and crannies. I think they've since moved location. But, you know, so I go walking in, have a look, and I go into this section, and I walk right into my friend. So I was like, okay. I could barely even talk to him because I was like, how did this happen? So, you know, so I've had other things show up where it's just like that simple curiosity, and things show up, and it's like, wow. How did this happen? And so that other side of the coin is being able to use your curiosity for you. It is really being able to ask a question from a space of true curiosity and not really having a point of view about how it shows up and not trying to figure it out. So in that instance, I didn't try to figure out how I was going to get in touch with my friend. I just kind of put it out there. I was like, oh, you know, I'll sort something out. And I've had other things, you know, show up in a similar capacity, in a similar way, where it's that light question, and then within a week or two, something shows up. I'm like, wow, okay, that was really interesting. Mm. How does it get any better than that? And I find that with the areas that we have a point of view about, though, that can be a little bit harder to have those questions that really create, because we're still in some ways trying to figure things out and trying to get a result.
And trying to get it right.
Oh, yeah. Or not.
Right. Well, I'd love to talk more about that on the other side of this break. If you have any questions for Pamela, you can call us at 202-570-7057. And we will be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Awesome, everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with Pamela McDowell. We're talking about, are you using curiosity for or against you? I remember when I was sharing your bio, an introduction to you, you said you were trying to get life right. Can you say more about, like, what that was for you and how you changed it?
So, okay, so, yeah, I'm originally from the U.S., and when I graduated school, I started working in the Seattle area, and you know, it's like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? you know, going through school, you have like, oh, finish this grade, finish this class. And it's like, and then get out of school. It's like, okay, what am I doing? And so, you know, I got married. I bought a house. I didn't have kids. I'm kind of happy about that. You know, but I was trying to follow the formula and tick the boxes of things that everybody else was doing around me to try to find happiness. And, you know, happiness was actually a pretty elusive thing for me. You know, my family wasn't overly joyful. And, you know, a little bit of depression going on. And so, and then, of course, I moved to Seattle where you have, like, no sunshine for half the year. And, you know, so I was doing everything I could to try to get something right so that I could be happy and that I could enjoy my life. And, you know, there were a few instances I remember after a few years of working at the company I was with, and I'm like, well, if this is all there is, count me out, you know, just shoot me now. I don't think I can do that. So I was like, you know, started to ask a little bit more. And I would find more space, you know, so I had a lot of stress and anxiety symptoms showing up in my life, and I eventually started doing some yoga, and that created a lot more for me, just that time you spend with your body and breathing and moving, and it was really nice. And so I actually wound up later studying to be a yoga teacher, as you mentioned earlier. And so started looking at, like, the yoga and more holistic living. And I had always played with my diet as a teenager. I was a competitive swimmer, and, you know, carb loading was the end thing when I was a swimmer. And I exercised enough that my body was like, okay, well, whatever. But but then, you know, when I had that less activity, it's like my things didn't work so well for my body. So I started looking more after what I was eating and the activities I was doing and things like that, which created some improvement. Still didn't really create happy. And then, okay, well, I've got to find the right job. You know, obviously this line of work isn't going to work for me. So I left there and I started doing some consulting, and had some desire to work in, you know, more environmentally sustainable type businesses and industries, and did find, I did a little bit of work for a friend who has a solar business, and then when I moved to Australia, I wound up doing some energy conservation work, and that was interesting and rewarding, but it still wasn't, creating any happiness. So, but it was this constant, like, looking to find happiness in the things that I was doing and the important things I was choosing. So trying to tick boxes and, is this going to work? Is this going to work? Is this going to work? And yeah, they don't really. One of the real gifts of access consciousness has been to recognize just how much of the stuff that I'm aware of isn't mine. I knew that some of the stuff I was aware of wasn't mine, but the extent to which that was the case didn't really get clear to me until I started working with access tools. And it's still really easy to start buying things as mine, I will admit that right now. But it's, I have the tools now to like step back and say, oops, silly, that's not mine. And I have other choices. And the thing is, like, there's so much negativity and doom and gloom, and media loves a disaster story or a sad story or a tragedy or a trauma. And the things people love to talk about, for the most part, are, oh, my aches and pains, or this happened to the neighbor's cat, or, and it's like, why are we talking about this? And there's so, we have choice to actually choose whether or not we're happy. And that might really upset a few people, because they've got a lot of stories as to why they're not happy. But you can still have things going on in your life, but it doesn't mean that you have to create them as a tragedy. And you don't have to be at the effect of them. And you don't have to shut off every last ounce of gratitude that you have in order to engage with the world. And again, this is a muscle. It's not something that most people choose overnight, but to start to recognize, you know, that you have the ability to say, okay, well, what's my reality here? And if I were going to choose happiness, what would I need to be or do or change? And a lot of times it's just a matter of like flipping that switch inside and not necessarily becoming a doormat and saying, oh yeah, life's awesome, and, you know, not looking after the things going on in your world, but to actually be able to say, right, regardless of what shows up around me, I am going to recognize where I'm actually happy. And I don't have to take on everybody else's sadness and upset in order to fix the world, because you can't. It's not yours. And you can choose that happiness for you, regardless of what anyone else chooses. And whether or not they think you're crazy.
Which is highly likely, because... right? If you're happy, something's wrong with you. Or what drug are you on, or something's wrong with you. But if you're sad and you're miserable, that's acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, you know, this is not something that comes necessarily, you know, my training in this lifetime has not really trained me for happiness. So it's definitely a muscle for me. It's like, oh, maybe I actually am happier than I'm recognizing. And just all those years of practice of being sad so I could fit into my family's reality or just the world around me. It's like, okay, I don't have to choose that. What else is possible here?
Cool. What were some ways that you actually actively worked on that and
okay,
chose more
the
happiness?
The bars is amazing.
Yes, very
so
true.
Done bars.
Get your bars
and
on.
Actually, one of the things I, for myself, and this is one of the things I really enjoy working with clients, is, you know, finding those small things, well, anything, big or small, that you enjoy. So, you recognizing the activities and the different energies that show up, and it's like, okay, you know, what's it going to take to have more of that? And actually making some time to engage in things that you enjoy, because that's another trap I've fallen into, is, you know, trying to get everything finished or everything sorted and correct or fix a problem before I can enjoy something. And it's like, well, what if you enjoy things anyway? And what if, and if, what if you also recognize the things that you enjoy now that maybe other people don't enjoy, and you've been labeling them as hard work when it's actually something kind of fun for you.
Like what?
Well, you know, like some people actually love cleaning. And, you know, whereas someone else would be like, you know, it's the last thing in the world they want to do. So, you know, and I know, like, for me, like, working on my accounting, it's something I kind of put off. But when I do it, it's like, it's actually kind of enjoyable. And it's like, okay, what's going on here? You know, so there's things that the people around you may label as that's work, but you might say it's fun. And for example, like your work might be something that you really enjoy. And people making you wrong for doing your work on the weekends, or whatever it is. But could you recognize those spots where you actually enjoy doing certain aspects of what you already do during your day? So, yeah, actually, one of the things I really recognized when I was working with EFT, but then, you know, it's still the same aspect with working with the tools of access, is if you keep fixing problems, you're going to keep getting problems. So what is it you'd like to start choosing? And that ability to create your life, you'll still have things that you might need to clear along the way, but that ability to choose and the choice to choose creates so much more than fixing yourself.
Looking for what's wrong so you can fix it.
Yes. It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really get you anywhere.
So thank you so much for that. It's really great to just, you know, like, all we're saying here is that you have a choice. You don't have to suffer life. You don't have to go through pain of life. You don't have to go through life thinking that you're wrong. So thank you so much for all that you've shared about that. If somebody wanted to find you and maybe do some work with you, how might they be able to do that?
So I have contact details on my website, which is PamelaMcDowell.com.
Great. Thank you, and please look her up. I'd love to go into a little bit more of, we have a few more minutes, and I'd love to go in a little bit more to, like, getting people to stop focusing on what's wrong with them and start choosing joy and getting, you know, maybe not from the right and wrong perspective, but like what's the beautiful thing about them? So what might be some suggestions for like helping them see that?
I would say one of the things is look for it in yourself and don't try to get anybody else to do the same. Because if you're waiting for other people to choose it, you might be waiting a really long time.
Right.
So recognize that you choosing that is making you different, and not in a bad way. It just means that other people around you may not be doing the same, and don't make yourself wrong for that. And then, you know, just use questions. Use real questions. Questions are not conclusions with question marks at the end. Questions are questions that open the door to different possibilities. So when you find yourself telling life like it is and saying, this is happening, well, what if you could stop and step back, let go, and say, okay, well, what else is possible here? And not from a space of, I got to figure it out, but just inviting more and more to the universe. And then start to recognize the things that inspire you or that light you up. And don't think that it's one thing. It's lots of things.
Lots of things. So go, don't, whatever you do, folks, don't go and be happy. Thank you so much, Pamela, for coming today. We're so grateful to have you here. And everybody, will see you next week or hear you next week.
Thank you.